IP. IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
Welcome to IP Series, home to all things IP related, where I give you the stories, tips, and implications to business and creative decision concerning your intangible assets with real life case study. I am your host, Rita Anwori Chinda. Subscribe and turn on your notification so you don't miss an episode. Cheers, guys.
When I got back from the UK in 2015, after I had concluded my master's in intellectual property and information technology law, I visited my first intellectual property office in Nigeria, and our guest was kind and gracious enough to receive me. And because I had not gone to law school then, he kind of gave me like a pep talk on what to do and how to build my practice going forward. So I am super grateful to our guests. And when I was now curating this year's guest list for the podcast, I reached out to our guest, and our guest graciously agreed to come speak to us today. So I'm not going to delay or waste any time, but I'm going to let our special and mysterious Christmas guest tell us who they are.
So thank you for making out the time to speak with me today. I wish it was physical, but fortunately, our locations will let us be in the same place at the same time. Thank you. So welcome, Mr. Akpan. Please kindly introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
My name is Michael Akpan. I'm currently a director in the Nigerian Copyright Commission. I serve as the director in charge of the compliance department.
Fantastic. So in relation to your role now, what would you say are the main challenges and opportunities for the creative industry in Nigeria, especially in this digital era?
Yes, the digital era has a mixed effect on the fortunes of the creative industries. In terms of opportunities, it has had very positive impact, as it has opened up the global stage for Nigeria's creative industry. The music industry, for instance, has benefited immensely from the digital services that enables sharing, streaming of content. The statistics available from some international industry organizations like IFPI shows that Nigeria's music industry is among the highest revenue earners in terms of streaming incomes. The so-called Afrobeat has become a global brand due to the positive digital platforms. The movie industry is similarly having some positive impacts too, aside the fact that facilities for production are becoming more sophisticated with better output. There is also the changing business model, where lots of middlemen role have been eliminated, as producers and movie makers can relate directly with their audiences through some platforms. All of these are the positives. On the side of the challenges, the vulnerability of creative content in the intricate online environment is something that needs to be worked on. Even though there are legal responses in terms of provisions in the law to safeguard technological protection that right owners use when their contents are on the net, the issue of online tracking and enforcement remains challenging. Infrastructure deficit is another issue. It may also lead to some digital exclusion in some regions in the world. Nigeria, for instance, needs to upgrade its ICT such that there is seamless access to content. Nigeria has a huge internal market that can support its creative sector, but this can only happen when we have sufficient infrastructure to enable good and affordable internet access by the greater majority of our citizens. Those, to me, are the issues surrounding the fortunes of the creative industry.
Okay. So with everything that you've said now, how does the Nigerian Copyright Commission come in terms of supporting and promoting the rights and interests of creators and users of copyrighted works in Nigeria?
Yes, basically, the state of the Nigerian Copyright Commission undertake protection of rights, administration, and enforcement of the copyright law. And in pursuant of this statutory mandate, it has adopted a strategic plan with a 7-point high-level agenda or goal, which includes that they work towards strengthening the policy framework of protection, awareness, ensuring diligent prosecution, facilitating rights management and regulation of copyright-related businesses, enhancing human and institutional capacity, strengthening our partnerships, and fostering good governance and effective service delivery. Much has been done in furtherance of all of these goals. Without meaning to areas, I would like to speak to the one that falls immediately above you.
Okay.
And compliance. We maintain a registration regime, which is 100% online, to assist right owners to document their works. Documenting also helps in terms of rights management when you talk of tracing title and licensing activity. With the new Copyright Act, now that is the Copyright Act 2022, registration has become a standard provision in the law. And it affords in terms of litigation as documents on registration that we have shared as proof of their content without more. We also have supportive in building strong management institutions through collective management system, which is currently available in three areas: music, visual, and published works. In terms of awareness, the NCC is quite proactive as it has several programs to create awareness. For instance, the very dynamic website of the commission is always informative. And of course, we have that awareness that looks at certain strata of the society, especially our stakeholders. And of course, students are not left out of this, because we'll be building the right ethos from the tender age will help in terms of protection and let people become aware that when they create, they have some benefit. Copyright Academy, for instance, which is capacity building, has also been involved in trainings for stakeholders, other role in the enforcement law. All of these processes fits in and supports effective rights protection and enforcement, as currently there is huge capacity gaps in our copyright sectors. So that's
fantastic. Fantastic. And kudos to NCC for the job and the advocacy they are currently undergoing in terms of educating creatives on their intellectual property rights. Now, in view of all of these things you've mentioned, are there examples of some of the best practices and success stories of Nigerian creators, say in the film industry, in the music industry, in the literature industry, arts and visual arts industry?
Definitely there are. As I mentioned earlier, in the music industry, Nigeria has recorded major success in streaming, with more than 80% revenue yield in the last year. Besides, Nigerian have started featuring in the winning list of the Grammys, which is the most prestigious of the music industry. And of course, the award organizers have created a category that seemingly focuses on our indigenous music and African journey. And this could not have happened if not for events on the national stage. Our movies have also begun to record some significant revenue through various streaming platforms. And very recently, we've had success stories also in the visual arts, where an arts piece from Nigeria could be sold for $2 billion. I mean, that's
wow. Yes, it is.
They're indeed positives and good success stories emanating from Nigeria's creative industry.
We are indeed the giant of Africa. But before I ask you my next question, I want to say congratulations to you on being the director of the regulatory and compliance at the NCC. So, in view of your new position, what would you say regulates the creative sector, or the regulations that have been considered for the growth of the creative sector? And what are the compliance requirements for creators in Nigeria, especially now when the conversations are gearing toward the African Free Continental Trade Agreement, the IP protocol in particular, and any other relevant framework?
Let me say this. My stint as the head of the regulatory department this time is my second time in the regulatory department. Between 2012 and 2018, I had been the head of regulatory department of the commission. From there, I moved on to be the director of planning, research, and statistics. Thereafter, I became the director in charge of the Nigerian Copyright Academy. It was from the Copyright Academy that I got back to the regulatory department. Now, to answer your question directly, the pivotal area of interest for creators when we talk about the regulation is the issue of documentation, like, for instance, registering their works after creation. Aside that, creators should know the various rights management systems that may be applicable to them, including collective management system, which are all within the regulatory and compliance space. Even though the best practice in copyright is that rights should be managed by individuals, right owners, but this is not always possible. Sometimes they are engaged in their creative processes that they have to assign the role for active management to third parties, and where the exploitation assumed a certain level of diffusion, it becomes necessary to use collective management system. So they have to understand when the collective management system must intervene as against direct management. More important, there is need to strengthen the regime of contracts in the creative industry. This may not be a statutory or regulatory issue, but it borders on the best practice of rights protection and management. This has to be something that may be supported with collective bargaining system. Currently, most people involved in creativity lack sound contractual basis for their collaborations, especially where output requires collaborative. Making movie involves actors, directors, costume. So, and what ties all participants together is a sound contractual basis that stipulates what the rights and entitlement of each player is. In the movie industry, for instance, with the coming into force of the new copyright law, there is provision for residual income performance outside the one they can have in terms of that appearance. And this can best be activated where there is effective regime contracts and standards of remuneration between producers and performers. These are some of the things that we still need to work on in the creative industry value chain, particularly when regulation. You said something about the importance of the African Free Trade Continental Agreement and the IP Protocol. Yes, like other international instruments, this instrument comes in as a multilateral system, and Nigeria, having become a member of ACTA, will have to implement the components that deal with IP through domestication of the standards stipulated in that those protocols. But we must also remember that this not be mutually exclusive to those other international instruments, like the WTO TRIPS agreement, or take for instance the Bern Convention, which Nigeria is already complying with. So to that extent, our copyright system would be well aligned with other international systems. And currently, we are seen to be TRIPS and Bern Plus. So if those of the after IP protocol will be mirroring some of these other systems, then it means Nigeria is already on the path of compliance with our team.
Okay, then thank you for that feedback. But again, how do you think Nigeria can collaborate with other industries, other countries, international organizations to foster a clear, fair, and balanced global copyright system if there is going to be something like that? Because you know that IP is territorial. So in view of all this, is there a possibility for a global copyright system?
Nigeria is an important member of the global IP community through its membership of the World Intellectual Property Organization. As you may be aware, in 2017, Nigeria ratified four important treaties, which included the WIPO Copyright Treaty, the WIPO Performance and Phonogram Treaties, the Beijing Treaty for Audiovisual Performances, and the Marrakesh Treaty for Access to Published Works for Blind and Visually Impaired Persons, which we popularly call the VIP Treaty. Nigeria now all relevant to this copyright and convention to these ones I have just mentioned. Fortunately, through the enactment of Copyright Act 2022, we have domesticated these treaties and thereby complied with our major international obligation in terms of copyright protection. And of course, WIPO is a global forum for IP protection, and its major objective is to forge an IP system fair and balanced and works for both creators and users. Nigeria partners with WIPO in a number of initiatives. For instance, in 2020-22, WIPO collaborated with all major IP institutions in Nigeria to prepare a national IP policy and strategy for Nigeria. The document validated by our stakeholders in September 2022, and it is now available and awaits approval of the government before it becomes an effect. Nigeria has also collaborated with WIPO and other international organizations, especially in the area of capacity building for various. An instance is the WIPO project on capacity building for the judicial rule for between 2028. And was the National Judicial Institute party to that project. And the HCC was the facilitator. That project had some very positive output, as it made available online IP cases database for participating judges, and of course made a specialized IP library for the NJR. We've also facilitated a number of collaborations with other WIPO programs. For instance, the Accessible Book Consortium of WIPO, we've been collaborating to see how to build capacity so that we can implement the Marrakesh Treaty. The National Association of the Blind is also involved in this. All these initiatives are things that we are doing to see that we bring our domestic copyright system up to speed with the international standards.
Okay, so what are some of the plans and projects that the Nigerian Copyright Commission is putting in place to enhance the creative ecosystem in Nigeria?
The plans and
prospects. Projects.
There are many projects that have been lined up. Like I said, much of what we have is under the strategic plan. You know, there are many projects. Much of it are like under the strategic plan that the commission has adopted. And in the area of capacity building, we are expanding our capacity building programs to embrace, for instance, universities. We've also had, for instance, a model IP policy for universities. And we believe that the universities are really grounds for innovation and creativity. And we want to see how this innovation and creativity could be managed in such a way that they become intentional economic products. Every university, one of the plans of the commission to ensure that every university or as many universities as possible adopt an IP policy using the basic model that have been provided so that we can begin to leverage the innovation and creative resource pool at the academic institutions. Of course, in terms of enforcement, we are looking at building our capacity to be able to enforce on the digital platforms. We have created an online enforcement unit, Corrections Department, and they have undergone various trainings. As much as activities are migrating to the digital space, we must also be ready to match up to the new imperatives of enforcement on that level. Capacity building will never become surplus because we have to bring our collaborators, partners up to speed. So we are also through our academy designing some tailor-made capacity building program for like police, customs. And very recently we had one with the high level officials in the Federal Ministry of Justice, which is the supervising organ of the commission. So we need our top level policymakers to understand the direction of the copyright system in Nigeria and be able to align properly with them. These are some of the things we are doing.
Very impressive, sir. Very impressive. So how can Nigerian filmmakers, musicians, the writers and artists protect their intellectual property rights and also get fair compensation for their work? Especially, I know you made mention of the lack of sound contractual basis amongst creators. So how can we get them to understand that they need to protect their IP rights and also be compensated fairly?
I would say that protection and fair remuneration for creators are different sides of the same coin. One cannot happen with it. It is important for creators to understand the demands of effective protection of their works and rights. A starting point is from the process of creation. For instance, I've mentioned the need for sound contractual basis engagement. This determines to a large extent how works protected from inception and the expected revenue that will flow from exploitation of such. When the agreements are not right, that is within some change. Second, in the digital era, creators must ensure adequate measures to save their content when they put them on that. There are a number of technical measures there. And of course, they must also leave existing management systems, like collective management systems, and professionals in the delivering service will support structures. Creativity alone is not enough. When you create and you are not able to take the advantages of the exclusive right that copyright grant, then the entire process is not good. So that is all these foundational issues must be addressed contracts, use of expert services like lawyers, managers, copyright managers, and administrators, and collective management. And of course, leveraging technology. Technology has a lot to do with work, using works, getting work distributed currently.
Okay. I like that you mentioned the importance of leveraging technology. So in view of that, what would you now say are the benefits for having a strong and diverse creative sector, especially for the Nigerian economy, preservation of culture, and then the growth of the society?
Yes, the benefit of having a strong and diverse creative sector is almost ostensible, because I mean, if you have, like Nigeria has, a vibrant music sector, a vibrant film sector, a vibrant publishing system, a vibrant visual art, and of course, recently, the ICT is busting. So all this fits into one trough, which means increased earnings, especially foreign direct earnings.
So that is a basic advantage.
Unfortunately, Nigeria is so blessed with their creative talents in all of these areas, not to mention the indigenous arts and crafts, which have always been here, but also needs the push from IP to be able to leverage their comparative advantages.
So in all of this now, what is now the significant role that copyright plays in protecting all of this creative work that you've mentioned in the course of our conversation?
That is not far-fetched. The copyright is the most proximate policy and statutory instrument to support creativity, essentially because of the exclusive economic rights that it assigns to creators and owners of works. Through these exclusive economic rights, they are able to protect their works and be able to recoup the cost of investment to production of works and be justly remunerated for their talent and time.
So in regards to dispute resolution mechanism, I know that under the new Copyright Act, I think it's section 90 or 87, one of them, where there was a provision for a dispute resolution board. And then I came across a publication that the NCC had signed a memorandum of understanding with the WIPO Nigerian board in terms of resolving disputes. In an event where a creative is in a fix and they are looking for the best alternative to resolving their dispute, what mechanism would you recommend, not as a director now, but as a stakeholder in the creative sector in Nigeria?
Yes, when you talk about the best dispute resolution mechanism, I will say that the answer to that question can be relative. Relative in the sense that it will depend on the nature of the dispute. There are disputes that are best resolved through already established dispute resolution system, like the one you've mentioned under the Copyright Act and previously under the collective management regulations. If, for instance, within the licensing activities of a CMO, there arises a dispute as to what the right tariffs are or what the right licensing fees would be, they can submit that the Commission through the provisions of the Collective Management Regulations 2007, and it will be resolved very easily. Now, we cannot say the same when, for instance, we are talking about issues of infringement. Take, for instance, something like piracy or a large-scale infringement or dispute as to the ownership of a particular work. This may not easily fall within the ambit of what we are currently doing, although one can still take advantage of alternative dispute resolution like the one that WIPO does, WIPO Arbitration Mediation Center does, where the Nigerian Copyright Commission has already signed an MOU with WIPO, not WIPO Nigeria office, but the WIPO AMC in Geneva. So we have that agreement with them to promote the use of alternative dispute resolution of WIPO in entertainment industry in Nigeria. So those could also be subjected there. But some of these very high level infringement case would best be resolved through the channels of the conventional channels like litigation because of the intricate nature of the issues. I would also want to say that probably in the future, Nigeria may need to look at what is happening in the U.S. now. That is what is called the Small Claims Board that attends to some infringement cases that do not exceed a particular financial threshold. So those ones are handled more like a fact-finding and dispute resolution, alternative dispute resolution system. Maybe at some point, Nigeria may look into that to obviate the challenges that we normally face in going through the conventional litigation system. So those are some of my thoughts along that line.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Michael. Just one small question still on the dispute resolution mechanism. In terms of the NCC's dispute resolution board, is there going to be like publication so people are in the know that the commission actually works in terms of this type of dispute that they can handle? Because I'm not sure that most creatives are aware
The provision of the law itself,
like you said, Section 90 of the Copyright Act already creates the possibility of having a dispute resolution panel. What needs to be done is to come up with implementing regulation, which I'm aware that the Commission is already working at. So that implementing regulation will be the one that will activate that provisions. And at that point, from that point onward, people will be free. Of course, lawyers, like I have always emphasized, lawyers have a role to play in this. If lawyers become aware, they will guide their clients who are members of the creative community when they are disputed to know what provision of the law to activate and what point to use alternative dispute. So on our side, we'll continue to do the awareness as needs arises, especially among the stakeholders, so that they will know that there exist these mechanisms for which they can take advantage of.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, moving on to another relevant stakeholder. I think this conversation came up for me last, so and that's talking about the role of PMAN and other collective management organizations. But what are your thoughts generally based on what have been happening? I know we had the mobile case, we've had other creatives come out with the social media call out. I think there was a time where people were, there was like a call out for people to leave a particular collective management organization. I think that was during the pandemic. So first is highlighting the role that PMAN plays in the lives of creatives, and then the role of CMOs and what creatives need to really know about these two stakeholders.
Let me say this. PMAN is more of an industry association. I think to the best of my knowledge, PMAN has been registered as a trade union. It is the umbrella union for all musicians. And they have a big role to play in terms of looking at the welfare, just like any other trade union would do, welfare of its members, their working conditions, and so how well this role has been defined and played is a different thing. I may not be able to speak to that. Like, for instance, When I spoke about using collective bargaining system in form of, you know, shoring up what creators get, you know, mostly individual creators will not have the capacity to negotiate contracts on their own, except the standard and custom, standard practices that have been adopted industry-wide that producers will become aware of. And when they're engaging creators, for instance, actors, singers, they will know that there is a standard which has been negotiated by their head association, and they will not fall below that standard. So everybody will be able to earn what is reasonable, rational, and commensurate with what they have put out, you know, in a given exploitation situation. I think that falls within the likes of PMAN. It's not only PMAN. If you go to the movie industry, there all manners of association for the producers, for the directors, for the actors, for marketers. I mean, we have a number of them. And these all get together, or at least work towards ensuring that the welfare and well-being of individual artists can be protected. Now, I don't have all the facts concerning the case of people like Mohbad, the late Mohbad, but the little I know of is that he may not have been a part of any of the collective management organizations, and that would have affected his earning capacity in terms of public performance of his works and so on and so forth. And one will have to look at whatever contractual arrangement that existed between him and his recording company at that point in time. These are all critical factors that must be interrogated before we know how much he was supposed to earn or not earn, or what the record company is owing him, and so on and so forth. The role of the associations will be to create this favorable environment for their individual artists to engage meaningfully with those who use their works. Now, collective management organizations, on the other hand, play a different role. Like the name suggests, they aggregate the interest of right owners in a certain field of collection and obtain their mandate to be able to issue license for this or production of those works in certain circumstances that direct management does not allow. You know, so their basic assignment is to issue licenses, collect royalties from those licenses, and in turn distribute those royalties back to the right owner. But they are under regulation of the Nigerian Copyright Commission. You cannot operate a CMO without being approved by the Nigerian Copyright Commission, and there are clear conditions for their approval. So to operate, and when they are approved to operate, they are also under the regulatory and oversight view of the Nigerian Copyright Commission, so that they will have to operate in a transparent way as not to prejudice the interests of the artists for whom they represent.
Okay, thank you so much. So I don't know if you'd be willing to clear this up, but there's this debate about the rights collecting management organization for musicians. It's between COSON and MCSN. Because I know last year there was a publication by the commission that COSON is no longer a licensed collecting management organization. Would you like to say something about that?
First, I want to say I don't have to reinterpret what the commission has put out there in the public clearly.
Yeah.
That needs no interpretation. If you fall back to that public notice, you see that it's clear. Of course, in very recent times, an advisory has again been issued on the same subject matter. I don't need to go beyond that than to emphasize that whatever the commission has put out remains the standing position. As we speak, the Musical Copyright Society of Nigeria remains the legitimately approved society to collect royalties on behalf of authors. We are not saying that authors cannot manage their rights otherwise than through collective management. But when you know the enormity of what is involved in direct management, especially in those cases where you need to go through a management structure like a CMO, then you best decide what you can do.
Okay, thank you very much for that, sir. So what would you now say are the available copyright opportunities under the IP protocol, under the Africa Free Trade Continental Agreement?
I will say this. I've not read the protocol to know exactly what is provided, but generally it will stipulate what rights every country should provide for, and it cannot be beyond what we are already providing for our creators in Nigeria. It will stipulate the categories of works that we have created. The little I saw of it, it covers just as much as the basic rights that we are already providing. That's why I was saying that because this instrument may not likely depart from what other international instruments have already provided, Nigeria is even in a better position because we are already complying with those other international instruments like the TRIPS Agreement or the Berne Convention. So I don't foresee any challenge in that way. On the other hand, it only creates a likely opportunity for some kind of continental harmony in the standards of protection between us and other countries that are members of that instrument.
Okay, fantastic. So we are wrapping up in a couple of minutes, but my second or third last question is the importance of IP transfer institutes in the university and the introduction of IP in school, especially when you mentioned the adoption of IP policy. Do you think most universities, or let's say from secondary school, is there a need for us to introduce IP first as a course, and also the role that this IP institute, IP transfer institute in university play in enhancing and developing the IP space in Nigeria?
With respect to the IP transfer institutes in the universities, as you said, maybe they are called IPTTO, Intellectual Property Technology Transfer Offices of universities. Clearly, those are part of the initiatives IP bodies like the Commercial Law Department of Federal Ministry of Industries, Trade and Investment with Nigerian universities, particularly the Patent Registry is fostering that project along with NOTA. So it's an important program that was aimed at ensuring that products that are innovative in the out of research are now given some kind of IP protection. But in recent times, like I said, the Nigerian Copyright Commission has come up with model IP policy for universities. Our intention is that universities themselves, aside being grounds for generating creative works and innovations, are also users of IP materials. So a policy like this should guide university to know how to interact between itself and IP that comes across in the discharge of its task. For instance, a university uses books, university uses other outputs of researches, which they should be able to know the boundaries to what they are using. But more importantly, it is to enable universities to begin to leverage the internal IP creation and innovation to the extent of being able to create that link between research and industry. So that is where the IP policy will be of immense benefit to university. It stipulates how they can create structures that can enable them to manage their IP resources and at the same time also set policies that enable those who work within the university to know how to interact with the IP of others, be it created within the universities or created elsewhere. Importantly, there is a component that stipulates how benefit sharing could be achieved if there are IP creation within the university community. So this is a major issue. Now, we've also been talking about a promotion of teaching of IP that goes beyond the law faculty, because IP is a cross-cutting discipline. So we look at teaching IP at the level of general courses and at the level of faculties like those dealing with engineering, science, and technology, or those dealing with the liberal arts. So these are some of the projects we are looking at on how to promote. Of course, we are also promoting the creation of IP clubs by students. So those are some of the things we are doing.
Okay, thank you so much. So moving on to the second to last question, what would you say are the copyright trends that you are expecting to see in 2024 within Nigeria and also within the international market?
The copyright trends we are expecting to see is not far from technology issues. What is trending currently is the impact of AI. And on AI is going to become a topical issue because AI is being deployed at multiple levels of creation or diffusion of works. So to what extent will copyright adapt itself to AI? That will be a big topic in the extreme future. Already, WIPO has started engaging on the possibility of showing the direction that copyright law should go. The Nigerian Copyright Commission is not unaware of this. And we are going to look at our law at the first anniversary of the Copyright Act, of the enactment of the Copyright Act. We will do a thorough review, and part of the area that we intend to look at will be the issue of AI and other emerging technologies and how we can tweak our law to accommodate these emerging technologies. That, to me, will be the topical issue in 2024.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, Mr. Akpan, for your insight and expert views. Finally, my last question to you is, for the listeners on today's podcast, how can we reach out to you, either via email or your social media handle?
I basically have my email, which you have. I have my WhatsApp, which you have. And I'm on LinkedIn and probably X, the former Twitter. All of this will be reached with the simple name Mike Akpan.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I hope you had a great time with us this evening. And looking forward to more collaboration with you and with the commission as well, and also the first anniversary of the enactment of the Nigerian Copyright Act.
Right. Thank you so much, Rita. It's been wonderful being on your podcast after so many episodes. I never knew it would come around to me. And you finally made it around to me. Maybe you assumed that because we know ourselves too much, we didn't need to appear in your podcast. But since you have finally come, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. God bless you. Keep doing this. It's helpful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you coming. And no, I was not taking my time. I think I was saving the best for future collaborations, but I'm sure I'll bring you back again someday to have another discussion on IP.
And so we've come to the end of the fifth episode of the annual IP series Christmas edition. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something new from the director. If you did, please subscribe, rate, review, and share this episode and podcast with your friends and family. I mean, it's the season for giving, you know. And don't forget to follow IP Series on social media using the hashtag IP Series. You can also send me an email to ipseriesinfo@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time, stay creative, stay innovative, and happy holidays.